What's going on, everyone? I'm Jurified. Welcome to Game On Centacom level 018. You may have noticed that I'm here by myself tonight, purely because my co-host, Mr. Therm, has gone missing. And we won't say where or when, but he's just disappeared. So the lonely Caruso chair is going to chill here in all its glory. And we're going to have a guest on, which I will introduce shortly. But firstly, thanks to you to Caruso and to HP. Caruso for supplying the chairs and HP for supplying the laptop that Sahin usually uses, or Mr. Therm usually uses. That's running out one of our like streams and kind of monitoring some of the chat there as well. So I'll have to, if people do chat on Facebook, I'll have to kind of look over because I don't have it on my screen at this stage. But it's going to be a big show tonight. I'm going to try my best by myself with hopefully no technical difficulties to get through the show with our guest and to provide quality show. And I see Lost Pod's already in chat saying it's Thursday. It is Thursday purely because we have a public holiday tomorrow. We don't, no one's going to be in office. So the office here is going to be closed. I keep looking over to say, Mr. Therm, please give your input, but there's nobody there. So if I have it, you'll see me probably throughout the night. I'll look over and say, so what do you think, Mr. Therm? Mr. Therm's not here. Yes. But I'm going to jump straight in. We're going to go through the content and we're going to introduce our next guest, free DLC. And now I'm pretty sure I said it right the first time. So I'd like to introduce Pandemodia. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. And you did say it correctly.
Awesome.
You
did get awesome. It right. Good. Yes. As long as it's okay, it's all good. Like I'm all good. It'll be fine. We'll get through this. So welcome to Game On Centacom. We did have a quick chat before about, you know, what it is that you do, you know, what your stream's all about, and I guess what the kind of games you've been playing. I guess, did you want to give us a run through, like, how long have you been streaming?
So I've been streaming, it's going to be a year in July. I believe it's the start of July, it'll be 1 year. But that's purely because my internet wouldn't handle it before then. If I could, I tried before then. I just would not handle it.
Good old Australian internet.
Good old Brisbane, especially. Brisbane especially seems to be particularly nasty at times. Yeah, but so a year in July.
Yeah, awesome. So I guess what have you been streaming lately? Like what's your stream? What do you normally stream? Like what type of games would people expect to see you play?
So my streams are really, I guess you could call them like story heavy streams. Like I generally play single player, really heavily story-based streams. So recently we've been playing through Kingdom Hearts. Mm-hmm. Before that we played through like the Evil Within games, all those kind of really beautiful cutscenes, really story heavy games, generally roller coasters of emotions. But yeah, so that's generally it. But we also then sometimes go into like Overwatch and a bit of first-person shootery. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's all right. That's all right. Awesome, yeah. Awesome. Well, like you see, I guess from my side of things, I would love to be able to play single-player story-driven games a lot more. I just need to spend more time on it because I've always been a kind of competitive gamer. And that's kind of the good thing between Mr. Therm and I. He is the story driven, like he loves single player games. And I guess he's played, you know, a lot of Cities Skylines and, you know, the ones that he can kind of build his own world and that kind of, you know, the simulators. But from a story driven thing, I always appreciated and loved how games stories progress. But unfortunately, like I haven't really spent much time lately anyway on those, you know, heavy story-driven games.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, at the moment, the games industry is so heavily based on PvP action. Like, you think of all of the big titles that have come out recently. You've got PUBG, you've got Fortnite. Like, Fortnite had kind of a story-based kind of side to it, but PvP aspect kind of just swarmed it. So it's kind of weird thing. Also, the amount of time that goes into a story heavy game compared to a like PvP based game is generally a lot more time and a lot more effort. So you can see game companies even kind of steering clear of them a little bit more.
It's funny, I guess, like from the developer's perspective, you know, creating the story driven stuff. I guess from a player perspective, you know, the hours of play. I've played a very large amount of hours for Rocket League, and as a competitive game. You know, and that by itself, if I cut all of those hours down into, I could probably play through, you know, 20 to 30 story driven games. It as in like finish the main story, not do all the, you know, The Witcher 3 100% completion side quests.
Yeah, not
But
those crazy,
the
crazy
main
ones.
story I could get done within the amount of hours I played for Rocket League. So I think, yeah, it's an interesting space, and I really would love to continue, like, to try play single players. Just I have to put the time to it, the commitment.
That's it. You have to have some commitment, like, because I over at my stream, I do a split shift because I'm a shift worker. So I do normally 2 week, 3 weeks of morning shifts and then an eve like a week of evening shifts. So normally the evening shifts, I end up playing different games to the morning shifts because of the different people who get to jump in. And yeah, so normally my Overwatch nights are normally evenings because my guy I like to duo with, he's normally on in the evenings, and yeah, those kind of things generally end up happening as well. But yeah, you do need to really dedicate quite a bit of time to single play games, especially some of the, like, I play a fair few JRPGs, which are generally 30, 40 hours and
Yeah,
with
exactly. Yeah.
grinding in the middle of it.
Did you pick up Ni No Kuni 2?
I haven't yet because it came out kind of in this weird March period when everything's coming
Everything's
out,
out, so you have to
and
pick and choose.
it's kind of gotten swallowed by everything else.
Well, because I kind of we just quickly showcased it last week, and it's an interesting. It looks really good, and I did do more research on it afterwards. And it's a game that I'll probably pick up again when I have more time to play. That's when I'll probably jump on it. But yeah, it's a really cool, interesting experience. So I'm keen to get that. Yeah,
No,
awesome.
it looks really cool.
Now, I guess, like, through your stream itself, you've also done you also did Gaming for Life. What was your experience with that? Like, how did you go with everything? And I guess, yeah, describe to us what that was all about.
Oh, so Game for Life was a really incredible experience. I unfortunately heard about it really late into it. So when I actually heard about it, it was only about a week before the end of it. So I didn't really get to do as much as I probably would have liked. But in saying that, my birthday fell on the last day of Gaming for Life. So we did a big, my di big birthday stream. Literally any money that came in on that night, so all subs, donations, bits, everything went to Gaming for Life. And for every dollar that my viewers donated, because we are only a very small community, I matched it dollar for dollar. So
Yeah, awesome.
we ended up getting to 400 US, almost 400 US dollars, which is
Yeah, that's
incredible
incredible. Yeah,
just
no, nah,
for a
especially with a
little community.
short time period as well. That's amazing. Well, congratulations.
That's it. It was really good, and it's really nice knowing, like, that you can build a community that is just when you try, when you're like, this is what I want to do, I want to give to a charity, and they're just like, yeah, we're on board, just let's do it. It was amazing.
No, definitely. Awesome. Well, I guess, like, what games have you been playing lately on stream, or what, like, previously? Because I guess I went through some of your past clips and videos, and I saw, like, one, you've played Shadow of the Colossus.
So that one, I had never actually played Shadow of the Colossus before the remake came out,
No,
which I
neither.
heard. Yeah, I've heard from a few friends that's a bit sacrilegious, like with how amazing the original was, like groundbreaking in its day. And I'm like, I think this one's pretty fantastic too. It was just absolutely beautiful, which was great. Like, just absolutely beautiful game, and really fun. Lots of replayability. Like, I haven't done it yet because once again, so many games coming out. But I really want to go back and I'm not normally a speed runner, but that is a game I want to try speed running and
Yeah,
see
nice.
how that goes.
Yeah, awesome. Like, yeah, you've probably, as you said, you've been following the show for a little bit, so you've seen probably seen the hashtag PS4 Giro, and it was purely because I wanted to get Shadow of the Colossus. And recently, I'm pretty sure Target has Shadow of Colossus on sale for, I think it was like 20 Australian. So I like the only thing I need to do is sort out the PlayStation, because I'm if I can find it now, it's probably gone sold out. But I'll probably pick up Shadow of the Colossus first and then figure out the console later.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, well, I'm gonna jump into the next segment of the night, and this one actually has the graphics ready to go. Let's hope it doesn't crash OBS or anything like it did last time. But we're gonna jump into notable new games. It's doing its own magic thing. I was thinking of like maybe setting up some audio. Or normally Therm and I kind of do like a little ad lib intro every time. But notable new
I'll
games.
work. Notable new games
Yeah,
with
exactly.
Andy.
That's the one. That's exactly what's gonna happen. All right. So I guess you've seen the list that I put there. I'm just gonna go through. I guess we'll go touch on each of them individually, and you know, describe if you're interested, or you'll pick it up, or if you'll pass. I guess that's the next way of us going through the notable new games is I think we'll probably have like a rating system of some sort, and I can put some overlays in, you know, pass,
Okay then.
purchase, or something else. But Far Cry 5 has released March 27th, which is, I think everyone's kind of jumped on a little bit. There's been reviews going around. Co-op is sounding pretty positive. That released on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So what are your thoughts so far?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All the yes, I would smash Far Cry 5. Yes, 10 out of 10. I haven't got it yet. I haven't got it yet. But next week, when on payday, I'm definitely going to be picking that up. I've watched a
Nice.
tiny bit of other streamers playing it, but not too much because I don't want too much spoil. But
Yeah,
oh, it
definitely.
looks good. I need a cheeseburger in my life. Just, oh, the bath. Give me a grizzly bath. Yes.
No, like I think Therm has a very different opinion on Far Cry series in general, which unfortunately he's not here to disclose tonight. I'm pretty sure he's in chat, so if he wants to disclose it there, or if he can keep his notes and describe it next week, his thoughts on Far Cry. But I'm pretty sure last week he kind of mentioned it a little bit as well. Yeah, I'm pretty keen for the game. I bought Far Cry 4, but I didn't really play it, so I'm kind of hesitant to do this one. But I guess the experience for me is going to be through a bit more through the co-op side of things. I think if I can find someone to play the game through with, that will probably, you know, probably work out better in my favor, because playing with someone else in the game as opposed to playing by myself, which is again what I'm not nor, nor what I don't normally do.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. See, whereas I'm the complete opposite. I'm just like, yeah, I just want to sneak around and be an assassin and like sneaky kill cultists from the shadows while my cheeseburger and boomer just go ham.
Yeah,
Just
no,
like,
definitely.
release the animals,
No,
release them into the wild. Go.
the animals look good, and I think there was just some Discord chat about Far Cry as well, in regards to, you know, the amount of stuff that they've got and how exciting they kind of feel it all is, and how fluid it all is as well, and how good the game actually runs on multiple systems, even low end ones.
I'm not gonna lie, I was a little bit concerned, like when I was looking at their minimum requirements. I'm like, oh, pretty sure a few people would struggle with those minimum requirements. Like, I had like a few people in my stream say my computer just couldn't handle it. So I'm just like, oh, so
Well,
it'll
I
be
guess.
interesting to see how it actually runs.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Well, I guess moving on to the next couple of topics. Well, next couple of games. This one I'm not particularly fond of. It's not my thing, but I think I just wanted to put it in because it's a different game. MLB The Show 18. Which also released, it was just on PS4. Now that's the baseball version of FIFA.
Baseball.
Yes, baseball.
Yes. Baseball baseball FIFA. That's probably the
Yeah.
best way to describe it.
Yeah.
I'm not I'm a little bit stereotypical nerd in that I'm not big into sports. But I had a little bit of a look through it and like it looks pretty. Not gonna lie, it looks really pretty, but I'm not really I probably won't pick it up because
Just not, yeah.
I don't I don't even know the rules of baseball, so I just wouldn't be able to follow it.
Yeah, like it's probably a pass for me, purely because I'm not really into the baseball franchises, sports or anything. Not under the radar. Just gonna leave it, let it go. Moving on to the next one, which I think this kind of sparked my interest. It's only because it's the Legendary Edition, but the Injustice 2 Legendary Edition kind of came out, which is on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Now, I didn't write down the exact differences, like, or what the actually Legendary Edition provided, but usually it comes with all the DLCs and extra characters that have kind of been released previously. So that's something that looks pretty good.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited for this. I didn't pick up the original, even though I really wanted to. I have like the statues from the original game because I loved the character models, but I didn't pick up the actual game. I do know the differences though, because I was looking into it because I wanted to purchase it. There are new specialty skins. Like, you can fight as Bruce Wayne instead of as Batman, like him in his bat suit.
That's awesome.
In Bruce Wayne outfit, except he looks really awkward. They've increased the level cap and changed a bunch of the leveling system, so you can level higher now. And it's pretty much just a fancy DLC. They've given you all the other DLCs. But I've been looking at getting it since last month when they put in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as playable characters. You can play the turtles, and I'm all for the turtles. I can get behind Injustice 2 for that one.
Yeah, it's kind of been Injustice 2. Kind of a lot of people felt like the combat mechanics were actually like some of the better ones in the fighting games that have released recently. So that's also always a good thing, right? The actual gameplay mechanic, not just the franchise models or anything. It's just the actual gameplay works really, really well in comparison to, I guess, what else is there? Like Street Fighter, Tekken, Dragon Ball Z, and like Marvel games. Injustice has its own league, and it's doing pretty well as a new entry into that fighter game mode.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think the way they've done everything, like making it so that it's very customizable to what you were wanting, I think that's pretty special. Like, no other fighting game is letting you choose which outfit your person wears. Like, you might have different colored skin for them, but like the outfit customization is just incredible in it, which makes it just a little bit more unique and separates it from the rest of the standard fighter games.
Cool. All right, next game on the list was Outlast 2, which released for Switch. Now, there are a lot of Switch ports coming out, which I'm pretty excited for. Even though I don't have a Switch, I think it's a really cool thing to see, these quality titles coming to a portable console of the Switch nature. That's pretty interesting.
It is. And there's also like a bunch of little changes as well. I've heard that they're bringing in for Outlast 2 as well, which is kind of exciting as well. I think they're exciting. As someone who's not great at horror, I've heard that they're bringing in like a story mode, so it's not so ridiculously difficult. When they do the port over, so that'll be good. I think they're adding a bunch of stuff in that they weren't originally going to do because of the fact they were going to get an adult rating, which was a bit like,
I guess for the Switch platform, having an adult rating may not necessarily be favorable for them.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Any platform having an adult rating, and especially in Australia where an adult rating can stop you from going onto the shelves, is just ridiculous. It's interesting to see what they're going to try and sneak back in.
Lost Pod mentioned Lost Pod mentioned in chat that PixArk came out, and I didn't put that one on the list, but I did actually purchase that to test it out because I was a big fan of Ark. But PixArk is basically Ark redone to look like Minecraft and be a lot less intensive on systems. So it's a kind of the mechanics are the same, but the graphics are simplified so that anyone can play and experience the Ark, mechanisms and gameplay. That was something that I was looking into, and I did play a little bit. I haven't played much, but it kind of feels exactly the same as Ark does, just with a different like skin, basically.
Yeah, that I haven't actually seen that, but that sounds amazing because I'm a massive dinosaur fan. I'm a bit crazy when it comes with dinosaurs, so that really appeals to me. Like, I looked at the VR Ark recently, and that was kind of like, I'm interested.
Ark Park, I think it's called that. We covered that last week, and we're just like, I don't know what you know. People are trying to use the new technologies, but you know, I feel that VR's still got a long way to go for a really good games to come out. So I'm waiting for like a second gen VR to kind of fully be out before I kind of jump on board entirely. But I appreciate the technology and I love where it's headed. I'm just waiting for devs to catch up to create a quality product.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's going to be interesting to see where they take it in the next few years.
Yeah, definitely. The last one that I had on the list was, I think this is an indie game because I couldn't really find it, but it did pop up in some of my feeds. It was Long Gone Days. Just to give a brief description, it's a 2D modern day character driven RPG that combines elements of visual novels, shooters, and dystopian fiction. Now that kind of sparked some interest from my side of things, just purely because it's crossing some interesting genres. Plus, it's got a really really nice art style. Like, it's got a kind of anime art style.
It's an anime.
Yeah,
it's on my wish list.
Yeah, awesome.
I've been following this game for a while. It looks incredible.
It does. Yeah, it looks really really nice. So it's out out on early access, released today. Yeah, 29th. So released $15.
Yeah, $15. It looks like an awesome game. I think a lot of people fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be picking it up. Like, I already have that on my wish list to pick up.
Yeah.
It's got a fun little fighting mechanic. Like, it's heavily story based, as you've already mentioned. But the fighting mechanic is very much like the Fallout like aiming system that you can pick which part of the body you shoot for, and you get like a percentage based on that. So it's like a weird little twist on the standard JRPG fighting that they normally do, which is you just pick your move and attack kind of thing. I'm kind of interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, awesome. No, that actually I'm pretty interested in that one. So that one's a maybe for me until I guess, like, there's so many other games to play, it's kind of hard to figure out when and where I'm going to play these games. So
That is it. There, as I said, so many games coming out. It's quite a quality year for gaming so far. And
yeah,
there's like
so
many more titles to come out.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely. I'm excited. I'm excited for what's coming, and I'm excited for E3 as well, I'll talk about not this session, but later as it comes closer, there's like kind of rumors and stuff that will start sparking around, and hopefully some interesting stuff comes out for E3.
Yes.
Excited.
E3's always good. It always gets all the wheels turning. And,
yeah, right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right.
It's like
now,
Christmas for gamers.
Yeah, exactly. Christmas, just in June. Christmas in July.
Christmas in June. That's it.
All right, moving on to the next section. Now, we still haven't named this section, and we've kind of gone through some. We didn't even go through the last week's names, but we will hopefully next week or the week after, purely because of next week's short week as well, get something, some artwork and other transitions for this segment. But it's basically general gaming news. So anything that's kind of come out interesting that I thought, I've actually got some developer stuff in here as well, game dev stuff in here this week, just to kind of, because it sparked interest to me, and I was really keen to see how this technology could potentially be used in future. So I'll go through the list. Now, I did send this through to Pandamedia, so if you have seen some stuff through it already, just feel free to chime in wherever you feel. But the first thing that I'm gonna
I, I, Sorry, yep. I just want to chime in quickly and say that I agree with Senior Pickle that Newsy McNewsface is a really great name for this segment. I'm gonna
Newsy McNewsface.
Newsy McNewsface. Gonna have to go with Senior Pickle on that one.
Awesome.
That's
well,
great.
I guess we'll confirm with Therm when he's around, if he's back ever again, and we'll see Newsy McNewsface. That's actually
McNewsface. That's it. It's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I guess that's up. Senior Pickle's got the thermal compound as well. The build for the Lego. He's kind of. I think he was the one that kind of named that for him.
Oh, Mr. Yep. Thumb is in. It's
official.
Official.
All right, so the next segment that we're going to be going over is Newsy McNewsface, and I'll play like some press a button to play some interesting. Actually, I can probably play this one while he's not here, right?
Yeah.
Unbox my box just several times because he's not here. You can't see.
He isn't here.
All right. So the first thing
my chat people are agreeing with it.
Yeah, it's good. It's plus one vote. Everyone's going. All right. Newsy McNewsface. The first lineup for Newsy McNewsface. Star Wars open world game? Lead online engineer. Now I actually did a little deeper than the article suggests, but I'll quickly shoot across to the article itself. Now this was an article released in GameSpot. It's suggesting that there is an open world game in development at EA, according to a job listing. Now the job listing was for a lead online engineer. I couldn't find where they figured out it was an open world game, but apparently originally in the role itself it mentioned it. So they may have adjusted that slightly, but an open world Star Wars game. I think this is something that I've wanted for a very long time. I think there's a lot of other people that are interested in it as well. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm interested to see what happens. Like I'm cautiously optimistic because the things that was going to be done by it was Visceral, wasn't it, who originally had it. The things they were talking about were really, really exciting.
Yeah, right. And that's kind of if they do that and if they continue on or something similar.
It's gonna be great. Because the way it was going sounded like the game that I've always wanted. It feels like 100 years ago, used to play the old Star Wars games back then, and they were dodgy but enjoyable. And since then, I haven't found one that I'm just like, yeah, no, this meets those kind of standards. I'm cautiously optimistic that if Visceral still has their way and it doesn't get the EA treatment too much, it should be really good.
Well, I guess on Visceral's point, I'm pretty sure Visceral unfortunately was dissolved by EA, which is why
they were.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, they have the same team is still working on it.
Okay.
But EA has influence on it because they dissolved into EA.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But they're saying they're going to still keep it the same kind of game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
We'll see.
So digging deeper into this topic itself, the Respawn, the developers behind Titanfall, this is an article or like this is something from quite some time ago. I can't remember where the dates are on here. I don't think there is one, but they actually mentioned that they were Respawn was actually working on a Star Wars project. Now that's an interesting concept and an interesting thing as well is if the developers of Titanfall have a Star Wars project in the line, what kind of game would that be? Like I was actually a big fan of Titanfall 2, one of the most underrated games I think of last year, and you know that I'm really interested to see how they kind of do their spin on the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah, I'm again. It's like I'm not sure how they would do it if. Because of the way they've done it like they've done it previously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like how they've done Titanfall. I kind of imagine it's similar to being Battlefront, but not Battlefront, like a different kind of take on that battlefieldy kind of Star Wars game. I don't know if that's how they'll actually do it, but from what I never played Titanfall, but it from what I understand, it was a really nice game, and the multiplayer aspects of it was always really, really good. So I can kind of see them attacking a multiplayer side of Star Wars again.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, multiplayer. Yeah. I would. Sorry. Did you play? Was it Star Wars: The Old Republic?
I have still got an open account on Star Wars The Old Republic with a character in every slot for every character race. So yes. I did.
Yeah, so I guess like that I really I dived into as well, but not to that extent, but I guess to just max out one or two tunes. That I enjoyed a lot, though I didn't think it kind of I think it could be done in a lot different way. Like I guess it followed traditional MMO, whereas I would love to have, this is just my personal, I would love to have a Black Desert Online Star Wars version, you know, an action MMO.
I could fully get behind that. That would be incredible.
Yeah, I think that would be a really cool spin on Star Wars. Like I think it was Jedi Knight Academy 2. I played that game religiously as a kid, and I really enjoyed the combat in that, which was kind of, I guess, very basic For Honor style combat. You know, you would move left and right and shoot or swing the saber, and depending on your directional movement, it would actually perform a different set of strikes. So that was something that I was really interested in at the time, and I think there's a lot of potential there for action based combat based on directional movements and timing of strikes.
Yeah, definitely. And I completely agree. I think that it's an underrated system. And again, it's going to be a case of we're not going to know what we get until we get a little bit closer.
Yeah,
to
exactly. Yeah.
There are so many nice things they could do with these games. I really hope they do them, which, gets
Just have to wait and see.
Yeah. cross fingers and hope for good things.
Yeah,
that is the main thing. Just cross fingers and hope.
All right, moving on to the next topic. We've got. Let me just quickly. Hellblade is coming to Xbox One very soon with enhanced for the Xbox X.
Xbox One X.
Now, Hellblade was actually it was again another single player game that I didn't purchase, but was like something that I could show appreciation for, because it looks amazing. It looks incredible, the game itself. I just never got onto it. So I you know, it's a game on my playlist and I really want to try it. But it's interesting, you know, it's coming to Xbox and Xbox One X. And that's going to, you know, maybe bring some people to play it from the Xbox franchise or consoles. But I'm not sure. Like, what are your thoughts on the whole Hellblade coming to Xbox?
I think it's a really good thing, just because even though it's not such a big thing anymore, the whole console divide is still very much there. Mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic game. Like, it was very beautiful. It was very enjoyable. I loved it. The things they went into with it, like it was the topics they covered hasn't really been covered recently. Like, it's been covered, but not recently. So it was just a really enjoyable game, and I understand not having it on certain consoles, like having it as a
exclusive,
having it as an exclusive, because it makes it a little bit more appealing to a console to pick it up. But at the same time, it really does limit a game's reach, and getting rid of a whole console is especially because there will always be Xbox people, there will always be PlayStation people, and so
you gotta get everywhere.
It's
definitely,
but the game, I'm super excited to see what it's like in Xbox beauty. Because I think it'll be really beautiful.
have you played it on
I've played a bit of it. Yeah. I haven't actually finished it. It's one of those games that I need to go back and finish,
yeah.
but I've only played a little bit of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's all right. Well, yeah, I'm pretty keen to jump on board with that one. I'll probably put it to a wish list on Steam, and when it goes on sale, I'll probably pick it up and get some time to play that. Yeah. All right, moving to the next topic. This one's interesting. All right, so Dragon Ball Legends, an iOS and Android, I think, fighting game.
Yes.
Now, I'm interested in this.
It's like their standard fighting games that they've kind of always released, but for your phone, so you can take it anywhere.
Yeah, and there seems to be a massive trend at the moment of mobile ports. I think purely because the technology is getting to a point now where portable and mobile gaming is actually a thing, like as in it can handle higher quality assets, higher amounts of storage, and you know, run actually at a decent level of gameplay, especially with the latest mobiles like the Pixel 2 and you know that kind of tier. This is actually in, I think, closed beta tests for invite only at the moment for Android. So it's still early days, but I think this is a very interesting move as well, especially for a Dragon Ball franchise or Dragon Ball Z franchise. Like I haven't actually picked up the PC or the console version of the Dragon Ball Z Fighter or Dragon Ball Fighter Z either, but that was a game that I was really interested in purely because of its Street Fighter kind of gameplay mechanic.
Yeah. See, I think it's a really good move because I'm the same. I haven't actually picked up the games. Like the Dragon Ball games, the One Piece games, I never really got them just because they didn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
Whereas if I could have them in a mobile format and could take them places, I think it might appeal to me a bit more, but at the same time, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. I'm kind of excited for it though, to see, because it's a bit of nostalgia, when it comes to Dragon Ball Z.
That's true. And I think that's something that they're kind of reaching now as well. There's a lot of the older games are coming back. You know, remasters are a thing. So many different remasters which were announced previously, like, you know, Spyro, like with Crash Bandicoot and that kind of thing coming out.
Exactly.
There's a lot of interesting things. Like I personally would love to see Diddy Kong Racing as a remaster. That was a game on 64 that I loved purely because of one game mode. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like there'll be four players. Everyone would have to try get eggs, fly and grab eggs from the middle and bring them back to their own nest. And the person at the end of the round with the most eggs won. And that was a really, I played that with my brothers and everything, family and friends, and that was a really cool mechanic, a game that I really enjoyed. Yeah. So I would love to see a remaster of Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested in similar, but Crash Team Racing.
Crash Team Racing, a lot of people have kind of sparked interest on that as well. Like I think when Crash Bandicoot was coming out and talks around that, a lot of people were Crash Team Racing, it has to be a thing, a remaster.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So I think I'm pretty sure it's inevitable. I think once Spyro's kind of done its thing, maybe Crash Team will probably be, you know, announced or on its lineup. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised by end of year, maybe early next, that we see Crash Team Racing remaster.
Neither will I, to be honest. But it's been really interesting because all of the PlayStation-y kind of games have seemed to be getting these remasters. Like you got Spyro, you've got Crash, have all been getting these remasters.
Yeah.
It's not so much happening with the old like Nintendo games. Instead, they're giving you like they release the mini SNES and things like that, so that you get the same old games. But you can play them on your newer, you've got a newer console for them.
Yeah.
I just think that's an interesting thing. Like, they're not getting digitally remastered. They're the same great games that they always were, but just on a different platform.
Just on the newer version of the platform. That makes sense. Moving on to the next one, we've got, now this one I wasn't too sure of, like, but in terms of, I haven't played it, but I think some wrestling fans out there might enjoy it. It's Fire Pro Wrestling World is actually available on Steam early access, and it's coming to PlayStation 4. So they announced that's coming to PlayStation 4 in summer of 2018, which I think is our winter. So that's actually an interesting one. Now this is like a pixelated version of wrestling with your I guess like management of your wrestler and you know the basically I don't know, I haven't played it, so to the extent, but it's got like a lot of mechanics inside of it to kind of set up your wrestling, your intros and everything, but in a different aspect, like
you
it's not
and then you can also partake in the wrestling, and you can also choose what type of wrestling you do, if you want it to be like a cage match or just a standard match, or if you want it to have like Brazilian jiu-jitsu rules and all the rest of it. It's like you get those extra little things.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure what I've read about this game is it was like 10 years in the making they were making this game, and I was looking at some of it, and I'm just like, it looks like it's 10 years old, like the graphics and things and the way that it plays and some of the mechanics. Like, yeah, I could see myself playing this 10 years ago when it was originally started. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So I guess like that if it's a very small dev team that's trying to, you know, be very ambitious with a project, that maybe that's kind of they're stuck tried and true to what they've done in the past and just, you know, it done iterations on it, but and to get it to this Fire Pro Wrestling for PlayStation 4.
Yeah. Well, from what Trojo is saying in the chat, who's one of my dudes, hey Trojo, he's saying that it's a local co-op, so they're like aiming for a more party vibe. So you come around, you play together, you wrestle each other, and you have your kind of, I imagine, like Gang Beasts, like a bit like that.
See, like it was interesting, because Gang Beasts I enjoyed and played a lot as local, but I always miss the ability to play online with friends, because sometimes you can't get everyone together at the same time, or they're so far away, it's a bit difficult. I always felt online, right now, I feel like online is a lot more necessary than it has been in the past, purely because the players don't make enough effort to meet and play in person. It's up to the people, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. Moving on to the next topic, we've got some, actually, there's like four parts of news for the next thing. Which is PUBG. Yes. Now, people may have seen that PUBG released its 1 year anniversary video. I won't play the audio for this, but you can go look it up. They just cover what they're kind of going to be looking at going forward, thanking the community so far. And there's a lot of news that's kind of come out roughly around the same time. But I feel like they've done pretty well for everything so far, and I'm really excited to see how they progress. The whole PUBG versus Fortnite battle is going to be going for some time, and I think PUBG is obviously falling behind now. And you know, what can they do, or what else can they do to provide players to come back? And I guess we'll go into that in a little bit more detail, because I've got some of the images and stuff here. But what are your thoughts? Like, have you played a lot? Have you played much of PUBG, or have you played it at all?
I played a bit when it first came out. Mm-hmm. I haven't played so much since, but I do jump in every now and then and just have a couple of games, realize how terrible I am at PUBG, mm-hmm. and then generally bail out again. But I really liked what they did, like with their 1 year anniversary, how they thanked everyone. Especially how they like admitted their faults, like, yeah, we know we've done some stuff that was wrong, thank you for telling us that we've done terribly so we can fix it and make it as great as it is, which they really have. Like, they've done really well at kind of doing that, also like adding little extra things, like the pan mechanics just makes me so happy, like it's such a little thing that just brings so much joy. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, those little things, Fortnite has so many of those little things that...
And I guess Therm and I have this discussion pretty much every show, and it's the developer of Fortnite, Epic Games, is a AAA title developer. They've got so many net games under their title. They've made the engine that runs Fortnite and PUBG, and... You know, you can see the quality, the you know, the optimization standing out a lot more in in PUBG, sorry, in Fortnite than PUBG at this stage. And that's no fault of, that's just mainly fault to experience of developers. And I think, you know, down the track going forward, there'll probably be a lot more on that. And I think, yeah, it's going to be an interesting space to see how it kind of progresses from there. And I'm excited to see. Like I'll move on to kind of the next things that they're kind of released. Like these were some screenshots of the new map that they announced, which is the smaller 4x4 map, which is about the same size as the Fortnite one for PUBG. And it looks really nice. It's kind of tropical, and it's got some interesting. This I think is early stage art, so it's not finalized yet. But you can kind of see the
differences. Looked at the artwork, and I'm just like, oh. They've gone for really bright tropical colors,
mm-hmm.
kind of like Fortnite Fortnite sized map. I'm just like, oh, that's an interesting choice they've decided to make there. Like, but at the same time, as you said, like most of the pictures that are out at the moment are very like basic pictures at the moment. So, but that I really love that they're already planning to release the map at the start of its development so that you can start seeing how it plays from the very start,
mm-hmm.
rather than putting it out at the end and then realizing there's something terribly wrong with it and having to go back and revise it.
Yeah, and I think that's what Fortnite's done really well, is they've already, from beginning to current, Fortnite's actually had the map in development the whole time. They add a new section, they remove parts of it, they adjust certain parts of it, all while it's still happening. And it's one map. And that, I think, is a really cool, you know, iteration, play, you know, listen to the players, what do they feel the map should look like or change, what places should be popular, or should they, where should gun spawns be, kind of, you know, I feel like that's a really good model to go off of.
Exactly. They've done it right. Yeah. But so is PUBG. Like PUBG, Fortnite wouldn't be what it was without PUBG. Like, no way. There's no way that they...
I was saying it was, PUBG paved the way for Fortnite's success, as in, you know, they brought light to Battle Royale, and then Fortnite's capitalized a lot on that purely because of their experience in game development and how quickly they pivoted Fortnite's base game type through to Battle Royale. Because they basically had a finished game in beta already, and they've just adjusted and got a team to kind of work on getting it a Battle Royale working. And then they've, like, I feel like they're kind of like... secondary thing is the original Fortnite game versus Battle Royale now, which is their main project.
Their income is coming from the Battle Royale, but I still feel like their income is Battle Royale, but their like love is with the original game that they were originally trying to get out. Like, they're like, we still want this game to be a thing, so they're holding on to it with every part of their being. But they're making their money from Battle Royale and battle passes and the like the cosmetics and things that, which seem to be a massive part of it. Yeah,
like so I think someone said, I think Predigor said in chat that make PUBG free. Now that's an interesting one, because they've, you know, Fortnite is making so much money off of aesthetics alone that they don't have to get people to pay. And they've set up, like, the monetization platform is brilliant. Like, you don't have to pay for anything. You can play the game for free forever. But if you want to look cool while doing it, then give, you know, $30 subscription or pay per item. And I think that's a really interesting one.
Yeah, I know for a fact that my most expensive games are all free games that I've played. Like there's no doubt in my mind that, like, I have spent a ridiculous amount of money on games that are meant to be free. And I'm like, you have taken a lot of money from me. Free game. that kind of ties into one of your coming up topics, because I kind of think they may be heading that way, mm-hmm. especially with what they're doing.
We can
the next subject.
Yeah, we can jump. Nice. You've sorted out the segue for us. So there was two announcements done during the anniversary launch. They announced that they're actually going to be doing an update which adds weapon skins. Now this is a massive thing. It's gonna be pretty much like the CSGO kind of style of weapon skins. You're gonna be able to unlock crates to unlock the weapon skins. They've also released the drop rate of the weapon skins, and you know, you've got gold plated, you know, 0.0064% chance. So there's definitely gonna be a whole marketplace like CSGO has for their skins done, but for PUBG. So that's an interesting one. Just to quickly go over as well, anyone who logs in the game. I think it's 20
March 1st,
March,
May,
May,
before the 1st,
yes,
before the
before the 1st of
May,
May.
April 1st,
April or
1st of May, 1st of May.
May. Okay.
No, it
Yep.
must have been May, must be May.
Anyone who
I'm trying to remember.
launches the game or logs into the game before the 1st of May actually receives this skin for their gun. So that's an interesting cool thing. They've, you know, announced the skins are coming and then given everyone a free one for coming back to the game. So yeah, first May 1st
That's
week
it.
maintenance. So yeah, so that's
Yes.
that's really interesting. So I'm keen. Like I haven't been playing PUBG as much as I have been playing Fortnite, and I don't know like how much the skins are gonna bring me back, but I can understand what a lot of people are gonna do, in terms of trading for skins. I think it's gonna become a Steam credit commodity,
Oh
because
yeah, definitely.
a lot
It's
of people,
going to be CSGO skins all over again, or the black leather jacket from
Yeah,
when
exactly.
PUBG originally launched, which was going for hundreds and hundreds of
I think
dollars just after
I'm pretty
release.
sure it's still worth about $300.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
The jacket is a little bit ridiculous. I've been into PUBG since the drop of the skins, and so I got the free skin, had a look at that, and then I also got myself a loot crate of the like skin variety, because they have loot crates which are specifically for gun skins, or then you have the randomized crates. I'm not gonna lie, the skin I got was a bit disappointing for the number of battle credits. It was like 1200 battle credits for your first crate, then goes up to 2400. Like it goes up from there, and it was pretty much a tan S12K skin. I'm just
So
like,
that a gun that
okay,
you never use.
gun that you never use. Also, it's just, rather than it being black, it is now tan colored, and I'm like, okay. But also the thing is, it's the tank gun is tan colored, but any of the mags or anything you equipped in it stay the black color. So because they don't get recolored to your skin. So yeah, it's an interesting little concept. I don't know how much it will come in, but some of the nicer skins, like I've had a bit of a look at some of the nicer skins, like the actual pixelated camo skins and the gold plated wooden skins all look really beautiful. So I can see them making money. Like
Yeah,
they're
no.
gonna make money. Let's not lie. When it comes to skins, you're gonna make money.
Yeah, I
Oh
think
yeah.
they've got it. They've got it. They're trying to shift and pivot to get that going, so that they
Oh yeah.
can get the Cole Skins thing up and running straight away.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's going to be really interesting to see if once they have it flowing, if they're making the money that they need to keep things going, if they will go to then a free-to-play platform and just have it as the keys for crates, and then the actual crates themselves being
That would be an interesting
where their
one.
money income comes from.
Because I guess
Yeah.
like if it follows what CSGO has done, it might be available cheaper more often, which is going to be so that people can jump in and just pay, you know, $10 for a $30 game and then have the
Exactly.
availability to everything else. Or maybe they bundle the $30 now with a starter kit of some sort. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting thing to see.
Yeah, it will be.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Now, I didn't have this in the I didn't have this in the I'll talk about the first part of it and then I'll introduce something else. But Fortnite, live stream with 100 YouTubers draws in more than 1 million viewers. Everyone's probably seen the Ninja and Drake live stream for Twitch. I'm pretty sure someone in Alubris OMG on YouTube had a tournament with other YouTubers, and they had 1 million viewers, which is, you know, this game is blowing up. And I think there's just there's so many people watching it, so many people playing it. It's kind of becoming insane in how much they're going ahead with everything. So I'm yeah, that's massive numbers. 1.1 million on anything is
1.1. Yeah, like I'm pretty sure the only time like a single person has ever pulled that kind of viewership was, I think it was like the World Cup for one of the esports. I'm pretty sure League may have pulled close to that, but no other channel ever has. No way in hell.
There's a lot. Yeah. I guess the next thing for Fortnite, which actually was released today, which I hadn't added, is there's a new rocket coming.
I haven't actually seen that.
You haven't seen it. So there's a homing missile that is being added to the game, which looks interesting. They did a kind of like small animation for it, and yeah, I'm interested to see how this goes with the they've got a homing missile in the game. So that's going to be it's going to be cool. I think there's going to be a lot of
that's going to get so messy. I'm so ready.
Well, so at the moment people are already kind of shooting rockets and riding them. Now they can shoot the rocket and control the where they're going,
where it goes.
So you can technically use it as like a jump pad.
Yeah, I can see that. Like that'd be fantastic. Oh my god, I'm ready for that. One thing that's going to be interesting is how you actually control it. Like, can you control your character while you're controlling the rocket, or are you going to be kind of like in a junk rat scenario where you're sending out your missile and you're just kind of stuck sitting there?
I think like I think it would probably be more the junk rat style. Like, I think it'd be unbalanced a bit if you could move while moving the rocket.
That's it.
Yeah, so I think a junk rat style is probably what you'll see.
Yeah.
So just a clarification on the viewers as well. Unknown CSGO said that the CSGO major had 1.2 million viewers. So there are high numbers. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Never mind. It wasn't 1.2. He's just pulled it back.
All right. Okay. All right. 1.8. Okay. Even higher. So even higher.
It was 1.8.
Yeah.
Yes.
So even higher. So that's you know, credit to the CSGO scene and the esports there. So someone's saying wombo combo for rockets and the teammates. So imagine like that'd be really cool, riding the rocket, putting them in the right position to take, you know, another rocket shot or sniper
shot. Take someone
out. Yeah. I think that's a really cool
thing. Like dropping a shotgunner from above, like it flies over and drops them in. Yeah,
that's actually really interesting. So I'm keen to play that, to test it out when that comes out. So when that does, we'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah, exactly. No, I hadn't heard of that, so that's really exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah, it showed up today on my newsfeed. I'm like, I haven't added this in, but it's really cool. So
that is amazing.
It's awesome. All right, moving to the next thing. Now, we were talking briefly about E3 before, but Nintendo have actually created a website dedicated to E3. So all updates for Nintendo's E3 will be technically posted here. It's like got an add to calendar kind of thing. It's got some images of the past E3, and it's kind of got, you know, what they're planning, like some hints of what they're showcasing. So they've got Super Smash Brothers, the new one, sorry, for Switch.
Oh.
There's the Super Smash Brothers Invitational 2018, Splatoon World Championships.
Splatoon.
Yes. So that's interesting. Like they've got a dedicated space for E3, and I'm pretty keen. I am keen for E3, so I want to see how that all goes.
Yeah, no, I'm super keen for E3. So I really like how they've done that. That they've like from the very get go said we are having these things at least, and everyone kind of knows that they're going to have them there. But at the same time,
you're still excited to
have them. That's it, especially when they're pretty much saying that like Super Smash Bros. For Switch is going to 100% be at E3 that you could
right, and that's a hype train to bring everyone in.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's a guaranteed thing. Like all the fanboys that when the trailer came out.
Yeah. Like you saw all the reaction videos.
Oh, they were fantastic. Watching some of them just like lose their mind.
I'm actually on the topic of the reaction videos. Raw Genesis created his own. Raw, if you have the clip or if you have the video, put it in. Send it to me, and I'll put it in the chat. But it's all of them going nuts over Switch Smash Brothers coming out, and then the very last one is Raw seeing the Smash Bros symbol through the eye, and Raw's just like, eh. What? It's all right.
I'm kind of the same. Like, I've never been a big Smash Brothers fan, so I'm more like sitting there watching other people react, being like,
yeah,
oh man, look at their faces, they're like losing their shit over this. And
it actually the trailer
I'm ready to see what happens.
Yeah, the trailer gave me goosebumps watching that trailer. It just sounded like people thought, oh, another Splatoon 2 or Splatoon kind of edition. All of a sudden, no, actually it's a Smash Bros game. Like that gave me kind of goosebumps, and it was really well done. The cinematic was done really, really well.
Oh, it was really, again, Nintendo with the Switch have just been making beautiful games. So I'm kind of like, what is Smash going to look like?
Yeah,
when it's on a like a fairly well done high definition kind of console.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
the Switch is kind of priding itself on. I'm excited.
And portable time, yeah. Smash Brothers, I think, is going to be great for everyone. Everyone's gonna love portable Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Well, this topic actually you passed through to me, which was Overwatch's dev update regarding. Now I think I added. I added Overwatch's dev update here. So what they've done is they've added a void as teammate, as an option in the game. Now that is to avoid toxicity. I can't even say the word right.
Toxicity. Yes. Yeah. So did you end up reading up on what's happened?
Yeah, I did.
Quite a bit of controversy.
Yes, it has. Yeah, it has been. So I guess to give some background, originally there was a void player, and that was removed. That was removed at the end of last year, I believe, purely because people were exploiting it to ranking. So that you could actually avoid players of better skill than you and not be matched against them.
Yes, but now they've made it so that you can't avoid the players on other teams, but you can avoid players who were in your own team instead. So like if you have somebody that was just really toxic and you really didn't enjoy playing with, you could make it so that it only lasts 1 week, but it avoids you from being matched with them in your team for a week. So you may still get matched against them, but you won't get matched with them. It's quite interesting, but people are like, that's not solving the problem, that's just palming the problem off onto other people. The other team is still going to get them. It's going to be interesting to see if it actually works or not, or what they're actually going to do with it. It's Overwatch is doing interesting things when it comes to like trying to neutralize the salt mines that they've cultivated. It's gonna be good.
It is gonna be good, and I'm keen to see how that goes as well. Like I'm kind of interested. There's so much stuff happening that I just want to kind of, you know, make sure that I can play everything and test everything out. But that Overwatch I haven't played for a while. And I think I never really been in a position where I've had to use or worry about the avoid player or avoid teammate function. I think it's interesting to have. Like some people were even saying that, you know, sometimes you're not even matched against other players regularly or with other players regularly. But I guess at a higher level, that's where you see it, is when there's less of a pool of players to grab from. Once you reach a peak level, then it becomes a problem. So
that's exactly right. Like the salt mines, that's it. Everyone get into the salt. But that's exactly right. In the higher category, so few players, especially in Oceania, where the region is already quite condensed and small, it is so easy to run into the same players multiple times. Like even just playing casual games, on some of the nights when we have our community games and we have say 3 or 4 of us in a group, we'll see the same people over and over again for the whole night. And it's just like, yeah, we've built a friendship with them now, thankfully, but sometimes that doesn't happen. It gets pretty salty in there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm just posting the Smash Bros. Video that Raw did. So if you want to have a look at that, it should come across to, I think, YouTube and YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook at the same time. Let's just see if it works. But I've sent the link through. So we can all have a look at it and have a laugh at Raw's reaction to Smash Brothers.
I'm pretty sure I've actually seen this before.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
Don't watch it. It's pretty
trash. Watch it. It's pretty trash. That's a great shout out for yourself there, Raw buddy.
I don't know if I don't think it's letting me send it. It's kind of like hanging at a point. That's all right. It did actually. Okay.
It did. Yeah. It linked to the Twitter and also to, yeah, to two different Twitters.
I've done it twice. All right. That's technical on my side. I've done it twice. Thank you, everyone. You can go watch it twice as much. All right. The next topic. So there's still a decent amount. We've got a decent amount of news still here. So let's get back on track, and I'll kind of bring up the next information that we had here. This was an interesting one. An experimental self-learning AI in Battlefield 1. Now,
I loved this video so much.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm distracted.
That's all right. The video. Yes. It's so good.
Yeah. It is. I couldn't stop laughing, especially near the end.
Yeah. Battlefield dev team creating an AI that can learn how to play the game at a better capacity. And it's got a lot of different, obviously it's calculating a lot of different things to be able to play it. And it's really interesting that they're actually just using the game engine to kind of build the AI's knowledge of what should they do when and calculate all of that on the fly. I'm interested in it, especially from a developer's point of view to see this kind of come out, as like a tech demo. It's interesting to see what else they can do going forward.
Wait, my favorite part is just about to come up in the video, I'm pretty sure. Like, or it may have just been where they're running.
Yeah.
Because they get easily confused.
Yeah.
It's like, unfortunately, they currently get easily confused.
Yeah,
they just end up running around in circles in front of each other. I'm just like, oh, you poor little guys.
I'm pretty sure there's two teams here trying to attack each other, but there's a wall in between them.
And so they can't just calculate. Running around in circles.
They can't calculate. I love it so much. Yeah.
And so they just end up running. It's great. Poor little guys. As long as they Skynet to that kind of level, like Eric and but just in Skynet, this is fine.
Yeah.
This is fine. It will be, as long as they continue to get confused by walls.
Yeah.
We're fine. Exactly. As long as we could just put down a wall and they're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing now. This is lost. I thought that was great though. But it is a little bit Skynet-y. And
the funny thing was, I think the top comment on that video was, I never thought that Skynet would be trained with Frostbite engine. So the engine for Battlefield.
Yeah, that's it. Frostbite is the train of
Skynet. All right, it's coming. Watch out, everyone.
What if the AI evolves and doesn't let us quit the game? ranking systems are now?
It will happen. You'll be like stuck in the game forever, like Sword Art Online.
That AI would be screwed in Fortnite.
Yeah.
It'd just pull its pick at it, and it'd just pickaxe forward for forever. That was the solution for Fortnite. That's exactly right though. It's like, oh, Skynet's gonna, yeah, we'll see. I'm excited though to see like what kind of PvE mechanics it will bring in.
Yep.
If the computer actually starts learning from us, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna beat it by doing it this way, next time that's not gonna work.
And I think that's the whole that's the whole idea, right? Like they're gonna learn from players, and then I think what this opens up is increase and decrease difficulty depending on player skill. So
yeah,
all of that could be technically be automated, and AI can run that, and then you can be paired against higher levels of players that are actually bots. I think that's a really interesting way to kind of kind of do it.
Oh yeah, no, that would be interesting. Yeah. Oh no, that does sound actually really good, because I keep thinking of it as the AI is just going to keep getting better.
Yeah.
And and it's like, I'm not going to be able to verse them for very long. They're going to beat me quite quickly.
I think
it's going to be
like a training tool, to I guess.
Yeah, but also to see if people, to what level people can beat, if there will always be someone who can beat the AI, or if it'll get to the point where the AI is just like, I am all, I can defeat any human brain.
They're grandmaster beating everyone.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. The next topic that I had is a video as well. Now this one I have a very fond kind of admiration. That's not the right word. Not aspiration. I've lost my words. I'm just very fond of the motion graphics and motion capture is kind of where I was headed.
Yes.
So this one is performed by Andy Serkis. If you don't know, which you probably should know, he played Gollum, Caesar. He's played so many different characters in movies that have kind of been mostly animated. And he's done a lot of voice acting. This is a video demo, and I'll just quickly switch to the scene. But this is the video demo of his performance captured, and I'll probably actually just grab a little bit of the audio as well. It's brilliant. It's so great that I like. Petty pace. I'm in awe of like how the technology's gone. For some people who don't know, I actually studied motion capture, so to see it at this level is incredible. Like to get. The nuances in the wrinkles, like the face, the eyebrows, the cheeks, that kind of like I was really excited and see this technology coming to fruition.
Yeah. So interesting thing about this, Trodger, who's currently in the chat, who is from my community, he actually put it into my Discord a couple of days ago. And this, the clip you're currently showing where it's got Andy Serkis with the alien, I forget the aliens, but upon stage. Next to each other, I was watching it and it wasn't till Trodger actually pointed out to me that Andy Serkis is actually CGI as well.
Yeah,
like
right?
It's not just the alien's face, his face is also CGI, because I was just watching it and I'm just like, oh wow, like it's exactly the same as him. And then Trodger's like, actually he's CGI as well. I'm like,
yeah,
no, you're kidding me.
It's so just daunting, and this is where my I guess faults for single player games is a little bit off, right? Like because this is the quality stuff that's showing up in single player games is this level of detail that I'm missing out on. But I can appreciate the aspect, but the behind the scenes of it, and I really love animation and the motion capture of it. I think there's so much potential there. And you know, having real actors jump in on a lot of the game characters now is becoming more and more popular. And I think eventually, you know, the actor themselves and the motion capture data that is used can be, you know, like hopefully there'll be some sort of like Oscars availability for motion capture at a higher level.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, as you said, like some of the things that are coming into games at the moment is just incredible. Like the detail it's spot on. Like,
yeah.
Just from that clip alone, as Predago, oh God, I don't know if I said that right. I'm sorry if I didn't. It's an incredible clip, and it really does show how far things have come and how far we can go.
Yeah.
It's just really interesting when you think of how many pixelated games we currently have going out. It's like, we have such different varieties. It's amazing.
Well, I guess like on the topic of pixelated games, I guess there's a kind of that niche, right? Like the indie devs and the people that are trying to do things different. But, and then you've got the triple A, the ones that have the budgets to kind of do the next generation of graphics.
That's right.
Yeah, so like there's a flavor for everyone, really. I'm really excited to kind of see both ends of the spectrum actually doing really well from an indie dev perspective and from a triple A, you know, graphics perspective.
Yeah, just gaming in general, like gaming is such a widely accepted thing at the moment that as an industry is just
it's booming.
Exploding.
Yeah, definitely.
It's great.
Yeah, and I'm excited for it. Now this is going to kind of contradict some of that, not from us, from me personally anyway, but there's been I'm not sure if anyone follows the AFL and the local esports scene, you may have seen or heard an AFL commentator, BT, give his kind of, according to this, trademark cheeky commentary, talking about the Australian Bombers team. Now, for League of Legends. Now, they're basically bagging them a little bit, calling them nerds and, you know, looking individual in their own way. It was some of the things that was said. There was a lot of outrage and outcry on a lot of different media that I follow, and from a gaming perspective, people were not kind of happy with what he said. What were your thoughts? Did you look into it, or did you have a look at that?
I'm actually a Bombers supporter for League of Legends. Like, they are my team. Like, I've been doing terribly, I accept it, but they are my team.
Yeah.
So I kind of got very outraged on their behalf when I heard about it. just because it's their first year, like their first season of competitive League of Legends, and they're trying their best. They're not doing too great, and then to get ragged on by pretty much commentators at a game for like their other team.
Yeah, right.
It was just a bit like, oh, you're going that way in saying that they aren't actual competitive people, eh?
I think I've always kind of said it at the moment. Traditional media isn't educated enough to understand what esports is and how it's going to progress and kind of blow up as it kind of is internationally. It will reach us a lot more here. A lot of people, like some of the mentors that I've been talking to, they say traditional media needs esports. Esports doesn't need traditional media.
Yeah, 100%.
Because the platforms like Twitch and YouTube and that's just a space in its own.
Exactly. And the thing is, so many people online, there are like so much support. I forget his name, Unknown CSGO said earlier, 1.8 million people watched the CSGO finals. I'm pretty sure there were similar numbers for the League of Legends finals a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like a ridiculous amount of people watch these games, and mainstream media has never even advertised. And yet all these people know about it. On the other side, like, the football is great, but they're missing out on such a big demographic. In fact, they're actually alienating that same demographic by putting all these crazy propaganda things into them, that like parents being scared about Fortnite
there was that A Current Affair segment on Fortnite that it just baffles me in some ways that, you know, they're trying to blame the game on it when there's a lot more that's at stake than that. And it's just interesting. I find it interesting, like, the perspectives, because I feel like there's a big disconnect.
There is a massive disconnect, and I think it's going to be quite a while before we see them actually making the connection that they need to. It's going to take a while. And sorry, somebody put in the chat that gaming is the devil.
Yeah.
It's just like, I can kind of see them saying like where they're coming from in that perspective. But at the same time, it's like, no, it makes no sense. One of the things I saw in mainstream media the other day was that video games were more violent than war. And I'm just like,
That's I feel like an over-exaggeration. I didn't think that that's yeah, that's
Well, more people get killed in video games than in war because there are downtimes in war. I'm just like, this makes zero sense because nobody gets killed in video games. They're pixels
yeah,
and
right. It,
code.
and then I guess that's the whole debate at the moment, right? The whole psychological aspect behind it on international shootings and stuff, you know, is it related? I don't want to talk about it tonight, but that's kind of, I guess, a topic in its own. But you know, there's a, that whole can of worms that kind of is being open right now, and everything's kind of coming out, and they're just trying to pick the worst of it, and then not really show what it's actually achieving, the light side of it. And I think that's where, you know, there needs to be enough more, enough people to outreach and educate to be able to share and show that information.
Exactly. And again, it's going to come down to it's just going to be a time thing to see if it continues or if somebody who owns a big gaming company buys a big mainstream media thing and we never have to worry about it again. We'll just win with their own thing. PlayerUnknown, get on that.
Yeah,
You know you
exactly.
want to. Just buy CNN. You know you
All
want to.
right, moving on to, I guess, a more lighter topic. Now, this one I'm really excited for, because I think it's a great cause. Now there's a lot of movements, especially like I guess with women's in women in games and just in coding and in the gaming industry as a whole. Previously we talked about women in games from a Facebook perspective, but now Google have also partnered with Girls Make Games and ESA Foundation. Now Girls Make Games is I guess an initiative to help provide a platform for younger females to be able to be invited into programming.
Exactly.
Now that I think is a great initiative, because the look like just reading off the stats here, you know, if sorry, millions of people around the world play video games on Google Play. 49% are women, yet only 23% of game developers identify as a woman. So that's kind of that's drastic figures there to show people, you know, the balance of gameplay versus the balance of people in industry is drastic, and it's getting better. I wouldn't lie, but there's always room for that change, and I think the initiative is great. What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
I think it's fantastic. Like, a lot of people argue about, like, it is still quite a big argument about females in gaming. Like, it's not as widely spoken about anymore, but it is still a thing. And I really support anything that supports people doing what they love. And
Well, yeah, that's true.
so.
Like anyone should be open to be able to do it, and there shouldn't be any you know, bias as to, you know, allowing them to anyone to do what they want to do. Like that's kind of how I see it.
Exactly. And as much as females have kind of infiltrated in a lot of way in the games industry, there's still a bit of a it's a bit of a boys club still in a lot of regards. So having females, have that in, I'm for it. I think it's great. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
I
awesome.
think, yeah.
Sorry.
Yes.
No, yeah, this is something like I really kind of interested in, is the diversity in the gaming industry. And I guess, yeah, the women's in games kind of initiatives are really helpful in that, and across the board, you know, through esports development, marketing for games, and that. So I think there's a big movement there, and I'm excited to see what other types of games can come out of the diversity that's around, because you know that opens
Well,
up a whole different thing.
that's exactly right. Like, we have a very set structure for games. Like, there's no de denying it. Like, games are generally have a fairly set structure. We don't rarely see new games, but if you open up the industry to a bunch of new people that may not have had their input previously, the options become a lot more viable. It's going to be great. I'm excited. I'm excited for the future.
Yes, yeah, definitely. It's good to see. Good to see. Now, the last one, which we're going back to Overwatch, which I thought I'd put this at the end because it's a bit light, more lighthearted. There's a lot more, it's pretty exciting. But the announcement of the 2018 Overwatch World Cup. So this, I'm
Yes.
pretty sure, sorry, qualification or
Qualifiers.
qualifiers happen competitive season April 28th, and they'll be tracking the skill rating of each country's top 150 players. Now, I guess for,
I'm like,
yeah,
this is,
excited.
I'm super excited. My mind is a little bit blown that that's how they're gonna pick their winning countries, but I'm just
Yeah.
like, I'm in.
I
I'm
think
ready
it's a
for this.
very interesting, I think it's a very interesting way to do it. So I've got the rankings up here at the moment from the site. Australia is 15th with 4,069 SR points. Now it's that's the I think the combination of the top 150 players, I'm pretty sure.
It's the average,
The
I'm
average?
pretty sure, of the
Okay.
top. It's the
Yeah.
average because 4,000 is
Oh,
about
is the higher?
diamond
Yeah, okay,
rating.
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
That
it's
makes a lot
like
more
diamond
sense.
master rating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the average of each of the
The top 150.
the top 150.
Yeah, cool.
Sorry, someone's just said hoping they're going to run semis in Australia this year. From what I understand at the moment, it isn't going to be.
I think
It's going
they've
to
already got the host
be
countries here.
South Korea, United States, Thailand, and France. Those four are guaranteed to have a team in this year's. And then there's going to be 20 additional countries on top of that that get in.
Nice,
And
okay.
also, hi there. Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's just going to be, it's a very strange way that they're doing it. Like no other country. It's like, we're not actually going to have you compete to win your entry. Instead, your players in your area are going to decide if you get in or not. So encourage your top 150 players to get good.
Well, that's the truth,
It's
right?
pretty.
At the moment, so I guess like for a FIFA World Cup would probably be an example. You know, there's coaches, there's teams that kind of get pulled together that are from that nation, and then they go off and represent their country. Whereas this one, I think it's similar, but I guess the foundations is they actually know which players are going to make it through, and then they kind of
Exactly.
invited you. You're in the team to join to be represent your country.
Well, it's kind of the same with League of Legends as well.
Yeah.
How they generally do it is each country that is eligible gets a does their own split, decides on a team based on that, and then they go into like a group stage to get decided into the finals. So it's all competition. Just of the teams that will be there at the end. These scores aren't necessarily like we could have like Sweden or UK being number one for their ranking because overall their country has really amazing players that pull really great scores and really great SR, but their actual team that's going to be representing them could be trash tier for all we know. So they may not do that well. It's just going to be interesting to see how the teams that are representing
Yeah,
and
yeah. Well, actually,
carries over to their spot fan.
I watched several of the games last year, and the Canada versus South Korea game where Canada kind of got swept at the end. Like
Oh, yeah.
they basically had the game in the bag, and then they lost nearly three or four in a row, and that was crazy. Like they that. I'm pretty sure at the time we had an event on here as well based on Overwatch, and I think the HP Omen truck was here. So that was that's when the last time the World's Overwatch World Cup was on. It's I'm keen to see how that goes, and I'll probably be following it up. I think yeah, the dates have all kind of been announced as to what's happening. Phases will happen May 1st. Phase 1 will happen from the 1st of May to the 14th. Phase 2 from the 17th to the 29th. They've got GMs, coaches. So it actually comes through and tells you exactly what's happening in the announcement itself. So that's on the
Of
Blizzard
course.
website, or the PlayOverwatch website, sorry.
One final thing is though, I am kind of excited to see if any of the like smaller countries that normally wouldn't be at the bigger competitions actually manage to get through. And if we see like as I'm looking through the list, I'm like Saudi Arabia is technically in the running at the moment because they're 24th and all of the four host countries are already there. I'm just super excited to see if they like get in and if we suddenly have this upset like Saudi Arabia beating Korea or something like that, it'd just be I think amazing esports to watch. Just like random upsets from these little countries that have never had the chance to perform just suddenly coming in and just wiping it.
Well, I guess like that's kind of all we've got. Like that's the whole shebang. That was a lot of content. We kind of went through it really well. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on the show tonight. Unfortunately, Therm is not here. Hopefully back next week. We'll see what happens there. Pandemodia, thank you for joining us tonight. Hope you had a good time. Talking games, talking esports. Excited to see kind of what happens going forward. Like what are your plans for the long weekend? Are you gonna be gaming?
I am working. I actually go back to work on Saturday.
So yes,
I'm going to be making those fat public holiday dollars. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, other than that, hopefully I will still be gaming in the morning though. So
yeah,
maybe playing some Overwatch in the morning because Brigitte just came. One second, Brigitte?
I'm not sure.
New champion.
Is it Brigitte?
No, it's not Brigitte.
It's not Brigitte.
Brigitte.
No. Interesting.
Brigitte.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Roger knows the spelling. He often gets angry at me for saying it wrong, but it has a T sound at the end of it. But yeah, she's just come out and she's a paladin kind of character and I'm playing her. Yeah. So
awesome.
I'll probably be paying some of her over the weekend. And tomorrow night, going to be playing some, what is it called? Tabletop Simulator with some of the Under stream team members.
I actually recently put a prototype into Tabletop Simulator. So I've got a game kind of I'm working with some people in at the moment. It's all hush hush at the moment. There's nothing released, but maybe in future I'll have that tested in Tabletop and play around with that.
Well, let us know because there's a few people that get together for Tabletop nights every now and then.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so shameless plug. But Down Under Scream Team playing Tabletop tomorrow night.
Awesome.
Plug.
Well, I'll definitely we'll make sure to check it out. And everyone else, if you're available, you can go check it out as well. This is, I'm Durify. This is your Thursday night stream due to the Easter weekend. And thank you all for joining us. We will catch you all next week. Thanks again, Pandemodia.
Thank you. Bye.